The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning, too. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV is all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. And what a week of sports it is.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't ask you how you're doing. My bad.
I'm doing just peachy.
Oh, there you go. Peachy.
Just peachy, yeah.
Peachy. Peachy keen or just peachy?
Just peachy.
Peachy. Okay.
No, just peachy.
All right. College basketball national championship tonight. And, of course, this week, a tradition unlike any other. Hello, friends. It's the Masters. Jim Nantz with his last championship game tonight as well.
Yeah.
For Final Four. Still doing golf. He's still going to do golf forever. He's still going to do the NFL with Tony Romo for as long as he wants. But he's got kids. He's got kids at home. So this is his last Final Four. Ian Eagle will take over after this year for him.
Okay. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
Ian's awesome, so that would be great.
He's tremendous. He's absolutely tremendous. So we'll talk about the national championship tonight between, of course, UConn and San Diego State with Dr. Bob, Tim Murray, and Wes Reynolds on the show today. Not one, not two, but three. We'll get Wes's preliminary thoughts on the Masters as well. We'll get your preliminary thoughts on the Masters. Masters, really, we sort of dive into in earnest starting tomorrow because most of the betting markets are yet to really go up, but we'll talk about some of the outrights that Kelly has bet. I have bet two myself, and it will only be two. I will only have two pre-flop outrights, unless someone can talk me into a third. But that's it. That's it. And I'll tell you what those two are. Before we get into the Final Four and how we arrived at San Diego State and UConn, can I just say something? Because, Kelly, we've never done this before, but for a show that promotes women's tennis liberally and we bet on it here on this show all the time, and we're sort of branded with it, can we do 90 seconds on women's college basketball for a second?
Let's do it.
Because I think it deserves to be said. This was an awesome product this year and certainly down the stretch. And I know there's a lot of people who listen to sports betting shows tend to be on the more, how can I put it, testosterone-laden side of things.
No.
No, I know. This just in. Breaking. But, man, this was awesome. Let's just take this week. This was, and by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, but the money spends the same. The money you win betting on this spends the same. So that game yesterday, LSU, congratulations, national champions beating Iowa by 17 yesterday. LSU could not miss. It was just incredible, their first half especially.
65% from three.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They were 75% from three in the first half, 9 of 12. Is that good? Couldn't miss, even banked in the one at the buzzer at the first half. But you couldn't set this in-game total high enough, so the betting opportunities were certainly there. But even going back to Saturday, was it Saturday? No, pardon me. Yeah, Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, you get the stagger thing mixed up.
Feels like 2 weeks ago.
Iowa's win over South Carolina. They broke South Carolina's 42-game win streak. Not only eliminated them, but, you know, they were undefeated. South Carolina was until that point. Hadn't lost in 42 games, but undefeated on the season. We're going for back-to-back titles. And Caitlin Clark dropped 41, and they hit on the money line. For those bold enough to bet, they hit on the money line at $6, which was a massive sort of betting moment for everybody. Now, I'm sorry, a lot of those people also bet Iowa in the championship game, gave a little back, but hey, you netted okay. But just the product was great, and I just want to sort of say this because Joe Pete and I were batting this around a little yesterday, where I think I speak on behalf of a lot of us. We haven't really ever really quite warmed to the WNBA, but David Stern may deserve a shout-out here posthumously, which is for all of those years he incessantly promoted the WNBA as and quite frankly as a lost leader, right? Wasn't like that league was making the NBA money. Maybe the upshot of it was that it inspired a whole generation of young girls to play the sport of basketball and to love the sport of basketball. And this is the product we've got now on the collegiate level. I wonder now if it will trickle up in terms of our interest to the WNBA, mass interest. Not that the WNBA hasn't had their stars, but it really hasn't captured the attention of, I think, the public and the betting public like this weekend did in women's college basketball. So shout out to them. It was awesome.
Completely agree. I think the point of the WNBA is spot on because if you've listened to Caitlin Clark speak throughout this tournament. I mean, she talked about, hey, watching the WNBA growing up, and we're really at that point now, right, where some of these girls that are in college that have watched it their entire career, they're not speaking about you know, whatever men's player inspired me when I was younger, it was this women's player inspired me when I was younger. So, yeah, I do think that's a big thing. And, yeah, we'll have to see how the NBA operates with WNBA over the next couple decades, because I think it's going to continue to be a loss leader for them. But if it leads to stuff like this, then great.
For those of us who won some bets this weekend, it was awesome. It was awesome in that regard as well. Now, a lot of people felt like that game got marred yesterday by really poor officiating.
I sure did.
That was overbearing, including Caitlin Clark getting that tech.
Yeah. When that happened, I kind of switched channels.
Late in the third quarter, yeah. And then a lot of
people... like, you're holding back. You're holding back, Katie. Let her go.
Your girl. Then a lot of people thought the whole Angel Reese sort of showing up, Clark, was sort of, you know, Bush League also. I haven't watched enough, let me be honest. I haven't watched enough to know how often Caitlin Clark did that to get under other people's skin, so I'm not going to comment on that.
She can talk some trash.
Yeah. So,
she can talk some trash.
So, yeah. But a lot of people felt like both those things barred the game. But nonetheless, I think the broader sort of commentary on the sport stands. As far as the men, oh, man, what we could have had. With apologies to San Diego State backers, for those of you who have futures tickets on San Diego State, for those of you who went to the beautiful campus at San Diego State University, sorry, my buddy Reza. Sorry, Stormy. But, man, I really wanted this moment. I wanted to go into tonight's game, and I didn't bet on that game on Saturday, but I wanted to go into this game with the chance for American sports history, American sports betting history, which is to say, this would have been our Leicester City. Leicester City, who cashed famously to win the Premier League at 5,000-1 odds. You know, we were saying, oh, you could have gotten FAU at as high as 800-1. Well, Kelly, I laid eyes on tickets this weekend. This is during the game.
Good.
Between FAU and San Diego State. I laid eyes on tickets. Somebody bet, I know at least one person because I saw it with my own eyes, somebody bet Florida Atlantic to win the National College Basketball Championship at 2,500-1 odds back in December. It was $225 total outlay to win over, I want to get this right, $525,000, I believe it was.
So that was the one, because we were, you know, we were showing those ones from Circa last week. Right? I know where the high point was for FAU at several different shops, but I don't know what the highest was out there of the longest odds that you could have gotten on them.
Well,
so that's the longest that I've heard.
Let me get this right. 225 to win $562,500. There was no hedging involved. And so, so beyond this person's bet and beyond anybody else who had FAU with a big ticket, good on San Diego State. They come back from a 14-point deficit with just under 14 minutes to play and somehow get their Lamont Butler's jumper at the buzzer. First ever Final Four buzzer beater that took a team from losing to winning. There have been tied games, right, that have come to a final shot, but that's the first ever of those. And
does the made shot bail out the coaching decisions at the end?
Okay, so can we talk about that?
Yeah.
So as part of that comeback from 6:43 to 4:43 left in that game, San Diego State got 8 offensive boards in that 2-minute span, 4 on free throws, where, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, by rule, you don't have inside position on your own free throws. So I'm talking 8 offensive rebounds, 4 on free throws. You never see that. And that took him to a tie ball game at that point. But I think what you're talking about, because we haven't talked about it beforehand, but I certainly, because we love talking about ends of games, but it's 71-68 with 41.7 left. Ladie hits a jumper to make it 71-70 with 36.2 left on the clock. And San Diego State decides not to foul there.
Yep.
Which I was like, oh, man. So they're going to end up with, what, 6 seconds left if they get possession just down one?
Correct.
And it worked out for them anyway.
Correct. And you got to keep in mind that, I mean, if you listened to the coaches and players afterwards, there was no intention
None.
To use a timeout.
None.
At all.
He didn't even have his best offensive players out there, yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's so you can't crush anybody when they win a game, right?
No,
you know what I mean? You
no,
won a game,
it worked
so whatever.
Out. I'm just saying, sometimes.
I just don't know how those two go together, right? If you were telling me they were fouling, they wanted to start fouling early because they weren't going to use timeouts. Okay, maybe that makes a little bit more sense to me. But if you were going to, I thought they would have saved one if you were going to plan on using that whole clock up.
Listen, sometimes you're just touched by the universe and it works out for you. San Diego State, as a 5 seed, remember, 5 seeds never won the NCAA tournament. Down 14, it's the 5th largest comeback in Final Four history. Good on them. They are 7.5-point underdogs tonight against the UConn Huskies, who have by far been the most impressive team in this tournament. UConn rolls Miami in the semifinals, just like they've been rolling everybody else. We barely talk about them because they roll everybody.
Yeah, yep.
And if you get down to the championship formula, which is how we'll close this segment, remember, we've done this championship formula. We looked into it maybe 7 times this year. And last 32 champs, more assists than turnovers. 31 of the last 32 had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience. File that one away. Only Kevin Ollie for the Huskies in 2014. The UConn Huskies, the exception. 26 of the last 27. With at least 3 wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. Only the 2014 UConn Huskies, the exception. Last 27 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. Remember, that gave us pause about Houston. Just like the beating, you know, 3 teams in the top 10% of RPI gave us pause about UCLA. 19 of the last 20 champs, top 20 adjusted offensive efficiency, KenPom. Only the 2014 Huskies, the exception. And 19 of the last 20 champs, top 20 adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. Only the 2021 Baylor Bears, the exception. Barely. UConn has always been a part of this, except for the Dan Hurley exception. But they're 3rd in adjusted offense. They're 8th in adjusted defense. They've always been there. The formula has always loved them. But if San Diego State wins, 68th adjusted offense, the formula goes to hell. UConn, they're the formula pick. Whether they cover or not, well, Dr. Bob has his thoughts on that next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling prom, call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Godfather702. He says, Gil, with all due respect. Oh, you love it when a sentence starts that way, Kelly. You know what's coming.
You're a moron.
With all due respect, you, sir, are a moron. No, he said, with all due respect, a loss leader brings consumers into the market. Corporation accepts financial loss in exchange for attracting consumers who spend money on other products. Think Costco, quarter kosher dog, and soda equals $1.50, not WNBA, which attracts few. Okay, Godfather 702, while I appreciate the lesson on loss leader, that was my point, was that this is, you know, while we were all crushing David Stern for this, that it is a lag sort of effect, right? That it's the generation that that has grown up watching this that is now loving it and performing at it, in, you know, loving it in droves and performing it performing at a skill level that widespread didn't exist before. So I think David Stern, yeah, no, it's not the loss leader in the conventional way. That was the point of what I was saying, that it's really maybe while we were killing him for it, it took a generation to manifest. And so in that respect, it's a loss leader. Hope you understand what I'm saying, Godfather. Paulie, I'm waiting on bated breath to hear Dr. Bob being told to wrap it up when he takes every last second of his allotted time to give his pick. I'll try not to knock off Dr. Bob. Sky High, Better Brewer. I called my mom to check in yesterday, and she said that she was watching the Women's National Championship. This is the same woman that thought the Chargers used to be from South Dakota. That's how impactful this NCAA women's tournament was. Thank you. He said, by the way, the kids say hi. Oh, Better Brewer is the gentleman with the 2 little girls who used to listen to us in the car all the time.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Better Brewer. Appreciate it. Do you have any clay picks tennis season? Not really. I'm not going to step into it today. It is the first day of true clay season here as we head now. By the way, our Miami Rybakina nor Sabalenka got home for us. That was brutal for us. Rybakina losing to Kvitova, Sabalenka losing to Kerstea. So that tournament didn't end well for us in the futures. But no picks on the clay side this morning. All in 216. If FAU shoots a 3 with 1 second left on the shot clock and hits the rim, they almost certainly win as there only would have been about 4 seconds left by the time SDSU got the rebound. If they got it at all, surprised analysts did not make more of this. That's exactly what I was just talking about. I am shocked that they didn't make more of it either. In fact, they didn't make anything of it, really. Although I think Raftery mentioned a little something. Raftery did give it a nod, should they foul here, when it was just over 30, when it was a six-second discrepancy and FAU had the basketball. So I'll give Raftery a little shout on that, but I didn't hear anything from Nance or Grant Hill. Let's talk with Dr. Bob, ladies and gentlemen, a pioneer in using predictive algorithms to predict the outcomes of sporting events. Bob Stoll is his real name, S-T-O-L-L. You can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports, drbobsports.com. How you doing, Bob? Bob, are you there? We do not have
Yeah,
Bob.
I'm here. Gil, that's, I'm doing well.
Bob. You're doing well. It doesn't
what
sound
about
like Bob.
Bob?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't have Bob. Anyway, I thought that was, again, just like in that game we were talking about last week, right, where people were missing the point about the end of the Creighton game, right? The end of the Creighton game where everyone was like, oh, 1.2 seconds left, you know, 1.2 seconds left. Was there time left? Oh, was that really a foul, you know, in the Creighton game? And I'm like, no, the real point was that Craig McDermott called a timeout and allowed San Diego State. Was it San Diego State that they were playing, Creighton? I'm already forgetting, you know. And allowed them to reset, right? So they missed the point there. Just like that, I thought they missed the point of that whole end sequence in the San Diego State game against FAU, but my, what could have been.
Wait, am I screwing something up, though? Because that was what? They had the rebound with 10 seconds left on the clock.
Which game are you talking about now?
San Diego State, FAU. So they get that right. 71-70 missed shot from Davis. They get the defensive rebound, 10 seconds to go from there.
No, there was less than 10 seconds left. Okay. Less than 10 seconds left. But the point is that if FAU takes it all the way down, right, if you do the math with the play mm-hmm. clock and the game clock, if they took it all the way down, and exactly what this gentleman was just saying, which is the point we're trying to make in the first segment, if the ball clangs off the rim, right, with 6.2 seconds left, which is the discrepancy between the game clock and the shot clock, San Diego State has, even as harried as it was with them going down court, as it was in reality, it would have been even more so, right? And they didn't have the ideal personnel on the court. It was funky math. It worked out for them. Mazel tov to them. 7.5-point dogs. Dr. Bob now does join us to give his thoughts on tonight's championship game. How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right. I was just saying I didn't have much to say. As you guys can keep talking, then I got hung up on. So I guess
we hung up on you.
Is that all right? I don't keep talking.
Another one of our tactics, Bob. We'll hang up on the guest. Yeah. Something we do here. So, okay, where do you stand on this 7.5-point spread?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, obviously, Connecticut's been dominating in the tournament, and San Diego State's been more lucky to squeak by a few games. You know, with the 3-point variance they've had, winning some close games because of the 3-point variance. Whereas, you know, UConn's had a nice 3-point differential themselves, but they've won every game by 13 or more by an average of 21 points. So it hasn't really mattered. They haven't won because of any variance. They've just been the best team in every single game easily. It's just one of those things here where the line opened at 6. My ratings make it 6.3. The game got bet up to 7.5. If you like Connecticut, you're paying a premium. It's just, I just think the line value is on the side of San Diego State. But I'm not releasing it as a play. I'm not betting the game. I just think the value is on the side of San Diego State. I think the line should be 6.5, not 7.5. But it's just not enough for me to want to bet it. I mean, Connecticut's been fantastic.
Yeah.
San Diego State's been a bit lucky.
Well, let's have a broader discussion there, because I do think, like, I've used this term before, like the humility of one's own numbers, right? And I don't mean to say it like there's, you know, arrogance is the opposite of that. But the humility of one's own numbers, I think, is what you're sort of exhibiting here to a point, right? Where it's like, let me use the Patriots equivalent. Remember when some models, you know, during the Belichick heyday with Brady would show, well, there's value against the Patriots. There's value against the Patriots week after week after week, right? And they would say, oh, I'm betting against the Patriots. And at some point, and I remember you even saying this, you would sort of counsel that individual by saying, hey, you know what? Maybe there's something in your numbers that really doesn't capture the Bill Belichick effect. With UConn here.
Right, and that's the case. That was the case with New England for years. My model, and Peyton Manning was another one that, you know, my model, the way it was, you know, generally worked, you know, for every other team. But in general, my model was about 3 points short of what the Patriots were actually doing on the field. My prediction and the actual results were about 3 points, and the Patriots were covering 60-something percent of their games back then. So the whole market was off by the same 3 points. My model was off. And at some point, I just went, all right, here's my model. I'll just add 3 points.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was, and Peyton Manning was about a 2-point difference when he was playing. There was just some guys like, that's, you know, the model just doesn't capture something that's going on. I don't know if that's the case for Connecticut.
Yeah, because it's a much smaller sample size, but I'm just sort of, it right. triggered that in my head anyway.
Yeah, no, and it's the same thing. It's like, yeah. The ratings, I think anybody, most ratings, most syndicates, most handicappers would probably say that work on some kind of model would be like, yeah, 6.5 probably about what the line should be. But there's still some reluctance to bet against Connecticut here. But I certainly wouldn't be betting on this game just because of the, you, like I said, you're paying a premium to be betting on UConn here. And you have every reason to want to bet on UConn here. And generally, when you have every reason to bet on one team, the other side is probably the side to take. So
okay.
I'm passing the game, but if I had to bet it, I'd probably take San Diego State.
All right. I know it's brief, but we appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much, Bob.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Dr. Bob, everybody. Bob Stoll on tonight's game. So I get that. It's like, okay, just, you know, if we're doing this correctly,
yeah,
you're paying a premium, don't do it. But he's not recommending any bet on that.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct with the number. Because it would be side with it. It would be San Diego State or pass for me tonight, but I don't think I'm going to get there on a bet on the side tonight. The total interests me more.
132.5?
Yeah.
How so?
I would lean a little bit to the over in this. We saw a low total in that San Diego State FAU game. That one ended up going over. San Diego State shot pretty dang well from that game, 50% from three. I don't know if they'll be able to do that again, but still, I think we're entering that territory of, man, that's a low, low total.
Yeah, you know what, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this. This sort of feels to me that it could get out of hand. And again, apologies to San Diego State. But you remember that Florida-UCLA like in 2006, where that game was just on because you're like, well, it's the national championship. I guess I'll leave the TV on. But Florida just like destroyed them from the beginning. I don't know if this is that because San Diego State's so good on defense. But if they fall behind, UConn has a great defense too. It's just that they're awesome on offense in San Diego State. If they fall behind, oh no. They could prove me wrong, but I worry about that outcome tonight. Tim Murray's thoughts on this next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, including advice, data, and strategy for only $9.99. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta. This year's upcoming Masters betting guide will break down every golfer in the field, plus futures bets and matchups. Sign up today to get full access to VSiN through the NFL draft for only $9.99. That's at VSiN.com/subscribe. How pumped are you for the Masters, Kelly?
Oh, I'm excited.
Very pumped.
And the maybe one of the most mainstream storylines is what I'm most excited about is just the LIV golfers coming back to play with the rest of these guys.
Is there a specific angle for you there where you're like, you're shunning or you're staying away or nothing at all?
There's none just because they've played. Even if you just look at the amount of golf they've played, it's so little that I think it's so little dating back to like August that I think it's really hard to draw conclusions one way or the other about guys. And then you talk about motivational factors. I mean, that's when we'll talk more about this later this week. But, you know, I think for some of the younger, more talented guys like Joaquin Neiman or an Abraham Ancer, how much of that was, okay, now I'm getting paid big, big money. I don't really need to go out and practice this hard, right? Like there's some of these guys that, you know, Brooks and Cameron Smith that have been doing this for a while now. I don't really question that what their work ethic is, I think, right now. I think Cameron Smith is still trying really hard out there to go win everything he can. But it's hard to factor, at least with what I'm doing statistical modeling-wise, it's hard to factor anything they've done when we don't get any stats at all from the
Any bets on any LIV golfers?
Yeah, I do. I have Brooks Koepka at 99-1.
Because he's just coming off a winning tournament, too. 99-1 is a nice price.
Yeah,
what is he right
that
now?
That was just an off-market number that I was able to grab. I think he's like in the 50s or something.
Yeah. Okay. One thing before we get to Tim Murray. Tim Murray, of course, host of VSiN's Primetime, which he does with Sean King here daily, network, here on the network, weekdays. this Shams Charania tweet that came up this weekend as well, just while we were all watching college basketball, men's and women's, this sort of slipped in. And we'll talk NBA because I want to sort of talk about these last few days of the NBA season and the playoffs and MVP again. But Shams putting out this tweet about, you know, the NBA and the NBA Players Association coming to an agreement which will allow, in exact words, game changer. The league's new collective bargaining agreement will give players the ability to invest in NBA and WNBA teams. Okay, interesting. As well as promote and or invest in sports betting and cannabis companies, sources tell The Athletic at Stadium. Invest in sports betting companies. Now, Kelly Bidlin, you know me. I love sports betting just as much as the next guy. Maybe even more. But is this a good idea? On any level? Let me just give you a scenario. All right? Let me just give you a scenario. We do shows about sports. Take whatever company, right? And it's we figure out that the book needs this side kind of thing. You know, people, we don't necessarily do this on this show, but we hear other people. The book needs this side. And then that result comes in a game involving someone who's invested in same company. Doesn't that just leave you open for just a tax you don't want any part of?
Hey, what's funny is I took away more was the promoting side of it, which I guess they go hand in hand.
Well, hand in hand.
Promoting and right. Investing. But, yeah, like I think it would be weird to see Luka Doncic's, I don't know why I went right to Luka, but let's go with Steph Curry, you know, promoting a sports book over and over again on TV, and then, yes, I guess we can
go there. This at the same time, by the way, where the Premier League is going the other way. The Premier League is taking sports betting companies off the front of their shirts and relegating them only now to sleeves. Like, they're going the other direction.
Oh, later we got to talk WWE and UFC, too, because that's okay. A big one.
Anyway, thought that was, again, we love this industry more than anybody, but we're going a little too far with that. Tim Murray joins us, as he has been kind enough to do so throughout this tournament, host of VSiN's Primetime. Tim, a college basketball fan, someone who bets on it, someone who played college basketball. How you doing, Tim?
I'm great, Gil. A little sad, right? Only one last ride, but no, I'm ready to go. I'm excited for this national championship. I was fired up for the weekend. There's no blue bloods. Well, how's the no blue bloods crowd after Florida Atlantic, San Diego State?
Yeah. Do you know anybody who's there's no blue bloods, or is that just something we say out loud? Like, is there anybody who has that opinion?
Well, I'll say this. We here at this network, which is why I love what we do and who we are, and we've been talking. I mean, we have so many people who have specialties in a lot of sports, so we don't have the lazy takes. You know, that are been circling around the bigger networks. I'll just put it at that. So, no, I think there was some thought, the ratings are going to be down. CBS isn't going to be happy. I mean, what do we care? At the end of the day, we just want a good product, and we got a phenomenal product. I mean, I thought Saturday's game between FAU and San Diego State. Also, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, take the points when they're out there. They're there for a reason. Don't just say, there's no way this game will land at one. I'm going to take the money line. Just a little PSA.
What about this one tonight? San Diego State, 7.5-point favorites. This is like immediately when this game was put out, just like the sort of Iowa-LSU game. Iowa in women's college basketball was 1.5. People immediately bet it up to 3. This got bet up immediately as well by a point and a half, where the Huskies are now 7.5-point favorites. I said, before the break, I'm like, okay, so San Diego State is great on defense, but they are, middling on offense. Again, the formula that I do says they can't win this. They're 68th adjusted offense at KenPom. You're not likely to win a tournament. In fact, there is no precedent for that in the last 3 decades. UConn, I said, they do everything defensively that San Diego State does, and they're just that much better in every way offensively. Could you see this getting out of hand tonight?
I don't think so. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that San Diego State faced the then betting favorite Alabama in the Sweet 16 with a more talented player in Brandon Miller than anyone that's on UConn's squad. Now, I'm not saying UConn's a bunch of chumps, and they have now become, Gil, as you know, the number one team in KenPom overall, as they've made this tournament run. You mentioned Iowa LSU, and I think that's a decent comparison because You know, I ended up taking 3.5 with LSU. I hadn't bet a women's basketball game all year. I'm like, this just seems like way overreaction to what was a remarkable performance on Friday night that we all watched. And we know that bettors are very reactionary. Now, there's clearly more evidence and data behind why this point spread is at 7.5. You look at UConn and the run that they've made, Gil, to the championship game, right? They are now the sixth team since the bracket expanded in 1985 to win their first five games by double figures. Four of those five teams ended up winning the championship by double figures. The only one that lost was UNC in 2016 with Jenkins for the championship for Villanova to win that one as time expired. So, look, the history is certainly on UConn's side, and what they've been doing against non-Big East foes this year is just insane. 16-0 straight up, 15-1 against the spread. They've won every single game by double figures, and they just look the part. So, look, full disclosure, you know, on the basketball betting podcast that I do with Matt Humans, Humans said he was going to take UConn at the short price that was available at Circa all last week, around minus 110. So I tailed him on it. So I'm sitting in a decent position. But, you know, here I sit, Gil, and I think there's a middle opportunity to be had because this San Diego State team does pose some unique threats. And, you know, the biggest matchup I'm intrigued to watch tonight is Adama Sanogo, who is the favorite to win Most Outstanding Player, has been tremendous throughout this NCAA tournament. He's actually got some big boys that I think can go toe-to-toe to him with Ladie and Nathan Mensah. So I'm very curious to see how that, you know, matchup goes down. But, you know, once again, like you said with UConn, they can throw so many different weapons at you. I mean, Jordan Hawkins was, you know, coming off of food poisoning and still played in the game on Saturday and really wasn't really needed. So it just feels like this UConn team comes at you in so many different waves. But to just assume that San Diego State is just going to get pummeled, I think is a little bit, you know, overlooking what San Diego State has been able to do
to the championship. Not assuming that. Just saying, could you see that happening?
I'm not saying you are, Gil. I'm saying I think there's a perception out there that UConn's just going to roll through them, which they could. I mean, they've done it to everybody else. But I think, you know, I think we're getting to the point where this number's starting to get a little out of hand pre-flop.
Okay. 7.5. Now, if you didn't have your -110, Tim, would you recommend taking the points?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, this would probably be the game that I would. Yeah. I mean, this would probably be the game where I would say just, you know, I know because we always have these high profile games, Gil, and, you know, we want to fire away on them. But yeah, I would probably look at San Diego State. That would be the only side I would play. I don't know if I could lay 7.5 here with UConn.
Okay. Tim, always appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game.
All right. See you, Gil.
Tim Murray at 1. That's the number 1, Tim Murray, on the Twitter machine.
That's right. Reminder, you can always get in live on games, right?
You can always get in on
live. Watch all the nighttime VSiN program. It'll be taking you live through this game, including Tim's show.
And for those of you who have the College Basketball Betting Podcast as well, the Basketball Betting Podcast, which he's promoting, for those of you who were, you know, who have UConn futures, Michael Montesano, who won the booby prize at Circa, he checks in. He says, I took San Diego State plus the points, tried to catch a hedge middle with my 40-1 and 33-1 on UConn's. We'll sprinkle a little on the money line as well. So he's trying to catch the middle and hit them both, which I think is a proper strategy if you have UConn futures. We'll come back. The NBA, so much to talk about next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
As college hoops gets ready to crown new champions, don't miss your shot with BetMGM to score a bonus bet for NBA action. Just place a $50 wager on the March matchups championship game on April 3rd, and BetMGM will give you a $15 bonus bet to use on any NBA game. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM. Then opt into the promotion and place your bet on the tournament final to net your bonus bet. Hit the court with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada or New York. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Good, bad, indifferent. Just be funny. We'll read your tweet if you're funny. Warrior 013, excuse me, Gil. No need to rehash UCLA's loss to Florida back in the day on a Monday morning. For the record, I believe we quickly had a 5-0 or 7-0 lead in that championship game before getting blown out. Florida was our thorn, like Gonzaga's our current thorn. Jason H. 11.
I like that he remembers the 5 or 7-0 lead. Like, oh, man.
I remember where I was watching that championship game, and I just remember no one paid attention 15 minutes in. Jason H. 11. I totally understand going slowly into clay season. If the numbers don't show a play, don't force one. By the way, what's the name of that sushi place? Okay. Corbin. That's enough of that. Corbin, amazing week of sports ahead. Not sure. Oh, yes. Not sure if this has slipped under the radar a little bit, but you know that over 4.5 quarterbacks in the draft that you guys were talking about last week on Friday? Yeah. It's moved from plus 560 to plus 125 in 4 days. Gil hit the, didn't I do that? Because pretty sure you did. We also got one on that from, this is another one, Jesse Welch. I just got back from vacation, heard your promo about the over 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round, and I just went to smash it. But it's down to plus 125. Missed another one by not listening to y'all live. Vacation was still worth it, though. Well, I hope so. Even though you
Yeah, I don't know if, pondering the production of decisions around here at Veasan of whether that's a perfect in case you missed it clip or a horrible in case you missed it.
That's
clip.
Exactly right. It's one or the other. It's either perfection or it's really you guys talking about some stuff that already happened.
We look smarter, but those odds are not bettable anymore.
That's correct. Judd O'Connor, I've learned something new today. Gil likes sports betting more than the next guy. I think people feel inspired to tweet. Let's see. Trip Tepper has a thought about the LIV golfers. Said the LIV guys should be highly motivated since the golf and sports media has trashed them for a year. The prices on the LIV guys have value. A wildly unpopular guy like Patrick Reed is someone I want in pocket for top 10 and top 20. I do not disagree with that.
And Patrick Reed also has some success at this event. I'm sure, look, they might have motivation. I'm not going to completely shoot down that point. Some more than others. I think that that's definitely going to be true.
But you're not betting on
all
something.
All I'm stating is these guys have barely played.
Yeah.
They've barely played.
Yeah.
So when I draw so much of my handicapping on recent performance, I'm not going to it most of those guys.
By the way, when you barely play golf and then you get back on the golf course, how does it work out for you? Pretty good, huh? That's my angle.
I'm terrible.
Riley,
I'd be okay at golf, Gil, if I played 5 days a week. It's the only people that are any decent at golf.
Golf. The most difficult thing on earth to perfect. I find it to be the hardest activity on earth.
And
I don't have the time or the patience to get better at it.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I had the time. I wish I could play 5 days a week and I could be great, but no.
I mean, if you wanted to make the time, you could make the time. I get it. But it's like, I'm not going to get out there. And Riley N. In Canada, Austin Matthews is a spokesman for Bet99. Always a weird feeling when he pops up in the middle of a game.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for a numbers game. In courtrooms, when they say with all due respect, this is relating to a previous tweet, he says they usually mean, what a bunch of barnyard excrement. This reminds me of when I was doing my Westgate thing, and John Gruden's attorney representing the Westgate, and I actually said out loud to the to the judge, I said, with all due respect to opposing counsel who has just told us that I was free-rolling the Westgate, he certainly knows that they were free-rolling us. But I went into that lawyer speak, and at one point he had to go, objection! Greatest moment of my life. Greatest moment of my life. Okay, NBA. We had history yesterday in the NBA with a point spread that resulted in an outright win for the dog. This was unbelievable. First of all, there was a couple games yesterday, but the Blazers beat the Timberwolves yesterday in the largest NBA upset in 30 years. David Purdom did a great piece of this on this, rather, at ESPN.com. 19.5-point dogs, the Blazers without four of their best players, and the T-Wolves who need the win to get in, to get playoff position or get play-in position, really. Blazers beat them outright, 107-105. That is the biggest upset in they said the last 30 years, it's the biggest upset, really the second biggest of all time, the only one bigger when the Magic beat the Bulls when they were 21-point dogs back in 91-92. Who could forget that game? Guess that was a Jordan game?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it was a Jordan game.
Did Jordan not sit or something in that game? We have to look at the details of that. But that happened yesterday, not to mention And this will go lost. For those who have the Kings to win the Pacific Division, not quite yet. Yeah, the Kings lose outright. We'll get to that. Kings lose outright as 16-point favorites to the Spurs yesterday in overtime. Yesterday was the 91st time, this is from David Purdom, yesterday was the 91st time since 1990-91 that there had been multiple 15-point underdogs in a day. Sunday, yesterday, was the first time two of them got home outright. That per ESPN stats and information. How's that Kings Pacific Division future feeling?
Dicey. Like I think they'll still get there, but the man, it's annoying how many futures I have coming down in these last few games of the season.
They should have done been won this already.
Yes, this should have been done.
They'll get there, he says quietly. 4-game lead still, 4 to play. They'll get there. What could go wrong, Kelly?
I was just looking to see if they actually had odds
Kelly's
posted.
All quiet about it. He's like, oh,
no. No, I was seeing if they had odds posted still.
Kelly's like, this is Kelly's cloud, his thought bubble. He's like, let me just look at who they play down the stretch. I just want to make sure this is going to work out. Oh, God. Beyond your future on the Kings, which I do think we'll get there for the Pacific Division.
The one I'm sweating more here at the end is that Bucks to have the most wins.
Bucks with 56 wins currently. The Boston Celtics with 54.
Because I made a pretty large bet on that at plus like 900 whenever we were talking about that back a couple months ago.
You'll get there.
Should be. We got a couple to sweat here.
The problem is you just don't know the motivations here down the stretch, right?
Right.
Of who's going to sit and, you know, when they're going to sit these players. We tend to overrate seeding as fans and bettors. But yeah, Milwaukee wants the number one seed. They want to have the best record. In the NBA, by the way, that number is wrong. They're 56-22 now, so they do have a 2-game lead over the Celtics, if I'm not mistaken.
I will.
Yeah. So the thing is, just looking at the playoff picture in the East, everything is. There's going to be a little bit of jockeying, but with the exception of maybe Brooklyn and Miami 6-7, which is obviously a big, you know, you're either in the play-in or you're in the playoffs to begin with. It kind of looks like the Eastern Conference is set. Because none of those teams that are in the hunt are going to get into the play-in. One would think they will not get there. And 1, 2, and 3, and 4 and 5, quite frankly, look pretty entrenched in the Eastern Conference. It's the Western Conference where there's still a whole bunch of jockeying, although not at the top, not at 1, 2, 3, and 4. Again, mathematically, these things could change, but generally here in the last week, they're going to be locked in. My question to you, Kelly, is sort of the reverse of what we've been talking about in the past weeks, which is, oh my God, who's going to be in the Western Conference Finals? You could make a case for anybody. Anybody could win the West. Have we gotten to the point now where we see like the Kings dropping that kind of game? The Warriors figure out a way to lose. By the way, not even mentioned, the Warriors figure out a way to lose to the Nuggets without Jokic yesterday, even though Klay was phenomenal down the stretch. How many teams can you actually take seriously? You can almost ask that question in reverse in the West. Do you take the Kings seriously? Do you take the Warriors seriously? Warriors 9-30 on the road.
Yeah, my top, I would say if I had to kind of tier the Western Conference, it is, it's still Denver, LA, Golden State.
LA.
Clippers
at
the top there, and then it goes into a second tier of kind of Memphis, Sacramento. No, Suns belong in that first tier too. Sorry, I missed out on them. So then beyond that is the second tier. But I do I expect at least one of those four teams to win it.
By the way, looking so I just wanted to make sure that I was right about the Warriors' road record at 9-30. I was correct.
Yeah,
but I'm looking at all those Western Conference road records. Do you know that only the Kings have a winning road record?
Yep. Yeah, that's
we
amazing.
Do have a couple 500 teams on the road, like the Clippers and the Nuggets, but only the Kings at 24-14 on the road of the playoff teams currently in playoff or play-in position have a winning record on the road. The Warriors obviously being the worst case of that, 9-30. Interesting. We'll get to our Masters thoughts and some NFL draft jockeying. That's on the other side. Numbers Game VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.